Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today is Monday, January 20th, 2014. My name is Sally Baptist. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Tonight we're going to talk about a variety of issues, but first off we want to make sure we mention that it is Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday and we're celebrating his day today. Some will notice that on the show page I put Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, and then I also mentioned George Washington's birthday, and I'll kind of explain that in a minute. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday is January 15th. President George Washington's birthday is February 22nd, so you might wonder why I put those both out there. But there was a reason to the madness, and I'll talk about that in a few minutes. A couple other things just to kind of go over what's going on, and we'll see where it all leads to tonight. The state attorney, Jeff Ashton, is still investigating the Orlando-Orange County Expressway Authority in reference to any state violations in their assigning or hiring Stephen Precourt. More to do with, I think, the dismissal of the other guy, Max Kummet, who was there before. So we'll see how that all plays out. I have my concerns with Precourt. He still has an interest in an engineering firm or some construction firm or something that to me would be a direct conflict of interest in reference to the Expressway Authority. And we already know there's a culture of corruption in this organization. There always has been. I am out there pushing for a citizens oversight board for the Expressway Authorities, all of them, not just this one. But starting with this one. And come this Friday, I'm going to be meeting with my state senator, Senator Darren Soto, and I'm going to be talking to him about notary public policy and also about the expressway transportation policy. Next Monday, stay tuned or tune in because I'm going to be talking specifically about the notary public policy, which is Senate Bill 0172. This is a Florida Senate now. This is the Florida Senate, and Senator Darren Soto is the one who submitted the bill, introduced the bill. And I do know there's a couple of other representatives in the House who are sponsoring it in the House side. Excuse me. So we're going to see. And then, you know, tell you a little bit of a story about a notary. It's a true story. I won't lie to you. Tell you the truth. And then I'm going to be sending out some information about this bill and needing everybody in Florida to be contacting their senators and representatives, promoting the fact that notary publics need to be held accountable, that the reckless use of that stamp and how it impacts people in the court of law is just not right. It's a major contributor to identity theft and property theft and mortgage fraud here in Florida. So we'll get into that in more detail next week. Excuse me. And then, well, there's a variety of other things we're going to get into tonight. I'm kind of be all over the board, in a sense, talking tonight. But if there's anything specific you want to talk about, just call in and let me know. When you call in, which is 347-857-4364, make sure you press 1 to speak on the air. If you do not press 1 to speak on the air, then I leave you out there listening and I don't bother you. If you want to comment or join the discussion, just make sure you press 1. Now, as I started off this year, and I'm going to be mentioning it on most of the shows, we need to pray for America. We are so close to collapse. We are so close to total destruction of what this country was founded on. We are so close to full-blown communism. We have many elements of communism in our country today, but it's getting worse, and we better think twice about what we really want. Be careful what you wish for. If you think you want communism, if you think you want socialized communist medicine, these kind of things, make sure you use the word communism. We have to be honest, and that's the other part of this. We have to be honest, and we have to face what's going on. So this year, we need, and this is my, if you want to call it my resolution kind of thing, I think I was doing it to begin with, but I'm going to focus even more so on it, is to seek the truth. We all know you can't trust the TV set, the lamestream media, and it doesn't matter whether it's cable news or any other. You know, you get information from it, but then you have to go verify it. You have to go check stuff out. You can't just sit there like a bobblehead and listen to what they say on the radio or on the TV or in the newspapers, whatever. You need to go out there and do your own research. Seek the truth so that you can know the truth. When you seek the truth and you really know what's going on, then we can together face the truth. Because it doesn't matter if you know the truth. If you refuse to face it, it doesn't do any good either. Knowing the truth and facing the truth, you know, we can't keep being in denial that nothing is wrong. And that's where so many people seem to be. So many Americans, even after 9/11, say, well, this can't happen in America. Yeah, it can. Yes, it can. Yeah, I mean, the truth is sitting right in front of you, and we have to face it. We've got to stop all this crazy denial of what's happening to our country. So seek the truth, face the truth. Excuse me one second. Excuse me. Seek the truth, face the truth, and we can save America. We cannot save America if we don't face the truth. And we can't face the truth if we don't know what the truth is. So please do everything you can to seek the truth, face the truth, and then we can save America. Then we know what we need to do. Many of us know, in fact, I think most of us know, that we have a very corrupt government these days. But some people say, well, that's always the way it is. No, it's not always the way it is. And if we allow it to happen, we're just as corrupt. To stand on the sidelines and just ignore the corruption is to be just as corrupt. To condone it is to be part of it. So please pray for America, seek the truth, face the truth, and let's work together to save our country. Otherwise, the last hope for freedom on this whole planet will be gone forever. And then again, going into Martin Luther King's birthday, which we have so many reasons to honor and respect what Martin Luther King Jr. did. The thing that I find interesting is how many liberals out there, whatever the party is, whatever you want to call it, very few. I mean, I would say out of all the times I've asked people about Martin Luther King's political positioning and ideology kind of thing. And with the exception of those that are listening to this kind of show and really who are the activists getting involved and stuff like that, 95%, 95%+ don't know that Martin Luther King Jr. was a Republican. And I just find it really interesting. Many don't understand the true stolen history with the blacks, what they did, how much they were involved earlier on. There's a book, Stolen History. It's an excellent book in reference to black history. So I find it kind of interesting how naive or ignorant, we know public education doesn't teach anything, this is just more proof of it, ignorant to what Martin Luther King Jr. really believed in. And, I mean, sorry, but current White House occupier, there's no comparison to Martin Luther King Jr. I would not insult Martin Luther King Jr. By even comparing, but you know, he's just not that. He really isn't. He's a socialist and a communist. He believes in stealing from one to give to another, and that really wasn't Martin Luther King at all. He was out there saying equality for all, equal opportunity for all, not take from the rich and give to the poor. It's make sure everybody had the equal rights and the equal opportunity, and that you judge a person by their character, not their color, not the color of their skin. So that's, you know, that's a big difference. Now, and if anybody wants to get into some of the specifics of Martin Luther King's history and everything that he was involved with, please feel free to call in and talk about it. We can talk about it more. A while back, I was doing some work up in Memphis, and I did the tour of, you know, where he actually was assassinated and everything, and a lot of history to it. And then, of course, his life in Atlanta. So it's hard to imagine what our country would be like without Martin Luther King Jr. He definitely made a difference. And so I think it's good that we honor his birthday. Now, in saying that, I'm going to the George Washington birthday. It's kind of ironic. You know, at one point, I think we did actually celebrate George Washington's birthday, but then we changed it to President's Day. And I actually think we should put it back to George Washington's birthday. I mean, when you compare the impact that both of these individuals had on our country, I think they both deserve their own day. I think it's a disservice or an injustice to President George Washington, the father of our country, when we mix him in with all the presidents. I think he is entitled to his own credit, his own celebration. We need to celebrate what he did. So I just truly, and again, his birthday is February 22nd, and next month we'll have President's Day. I think it should be George Washington's birthday. Well, it looks like we have a caller, and I'm pretty sure this is Nathan. We have not heard from Nathan in a while. And let's see. Hey, Nathan, how you doing?
Hey, just because you haven't heard from me, that means I'm hiding in the shadows. Okay.
Oh, I know that. I know your job is kind of crazy, and you can't call in as much as you used to.
Yeah. Well, listen, you know, you mentioned some of Dr. Martin Luther King's, I guess, relationships with other people. A lot of people question, like, with communists and stuff like that. I don't know well enough to give any opinion if any of that is true. I haven't looked at that close, but I will say, you know, if anything I've heard is true, I don't care, okay, because there's always been outsiders who tried to build an alliance whenever they seen it as an opportunity to divide America and possibly, destroy, use it as a foothold. They tried, the Union tried this. They tried to unionize the blacks in the Great Depression, thinking, you know, this is our chance because there's more blacks, but whenever a few blacks got killed because they stood up for the Union, they backed down. So, you know, these people take advantage of whatever group they can use to get in to destroy what America's Constitution was meant to be about. So, I'm just saying I have no problem with anybody reaching out to him. That the Muslims done it with the black community, and they did it not based on the religion of Islam. They did it based on their hurt, okay? They knew these people are hurt. They've been hurt by America because America didn't live up to what they were promised through the Constitution, and they only used it. You can't blame them for taking advantage of an opportunity. That's what the devil does. He uses your hurts to put a wedge between you and your God. He does it with people in their countries too.
But Martin Luther King was not.
I know this much, and this is what a leader is. A leader, and you don't have to be a national leader. You do this as a parent, as an uncle, as a brother, as a sister. A leader will always be a leader. Even if he's not in a position of leadership, he'll always be a leader if he does three things in people's lives. He promotes, provides, and protects. You know, you don't have to have rank on your collar to do that. In our lifetime, I've only seen two people nationally that did that. And when I say provide, protect, and promote, it wasn't about them. What they gave their life to gave those who followed them a legacy after they're gone, and that was Martin Luther King and Ronald Reagan. Those are the only two people I've known nationally that gave, and other people benefited from their legacy.
Mm. Well, I'll tell you, there are definitely two of the big ones out there. Somebody was asking me, the other day, it's like, well, what president did I like? Because I'm definitely not a fan of the guy who's in there now, the current White House occupier. And I wasn't a fan of George Bush, and I was not a fan of Bill Clinton either. So, you know, Reagan was a good guy out there. But, you know, Eisenhower was another good president. There's mixed emotions, and when you get into the nitty-gritty of any of them, I don't think there's any you agree with 100%. But Eisenhower was, I got to give him credit for the interstate highway system, so he was doing that. But he also took care of the illegal immigration. I mean, he proved we could take care of the border. Yeah,
but the thing is on the interstate, he dropped the ball on the interstate. What he did was great. But what he should have done was let the states decide to do it and then step back. But the federal government was only responsible in the Constitution to make sure that there are roadways to the post office, okay, and to the people that are receiving. They're only postal roads. From your house to the postal road, so they can get their mail to you, your mail to you, or you can get your mail. That's the only obligation the federal Constitution has. They could have said, let the states figure this out, and let the states decide, okay, we're going to take this interstate from here to here, and then you guys pick it up from here to there. That's all they needed to do. Let the states handle it. But they federalized not just the highways. They federalized. Now we got federal. We got state Department of Transportation law enforcement. And we have federal law enforcement, which you can have a Florida State Highway Patrol who is also a federal highway patrol, and for the DOT. And it wasn't supposed to be that way. Even though we have but the reason he did the system is he understood militarily we need to be able to get across the country quick if we had to with our military, and we've never used it for that purposes primarily because we've never been attacked. But so it ends up being more commercial and personal than it is and civil than it is a military tool.
Right, and that was definitely part of the military. But on a on that same note, when you think about the road, regardless whether it be federal or the state, the road system is definitely the emergency evacuation system if there's a hurricane coming and those kind of things, and then also the law enforcement that uses it as well. And, it's one of those things, and I agree, there should have been this common network to create the interstate. I don't have a problem. I mean, the U.S. Department of Transportation, all the U.S. highway thing, I definitely think all the U.S. highways should be converted over into state road stuff and get away with that part. And the federal government is strictly on the interstate piece of it. And that's all that truly is, a partnership with the states, because the states pay for the portion that's in their state, or they share the expense. I won't say they pay the whole thing. They share the expense of what's in there. But at least there's that common network to try to connect the country.
The state should have been the ones that gathered up a group of people that would get everybody uniform. Because, at one point, one state's mile markers might have started in the north to the south, another one starts in the south to the north, and then the exit ramps were named according to how many it was. Like when you come into the state, it's exit one, and then 10 miles down the road, it's exit two, and then eventually they got everything organized so that it's the exit ramps on every federal highway is the mile marker. So, there's some common sense in that, but you don't need the federal government in charge of it because that gives them, you could get like a board of 50 people from all states and share notes and ideas, and then each state decides for themselves, if they want to work with the other states, and it's just like the gun permits, concealed weapon permits. Some states will say you can have a concealed weapon permit in Florida, and we'll honor it in Georgia. You don't have to get a federal, and some states will say we don't want you here with your gun in your pocket. That's the way it should be on all these issues, but the federal government has learned that they can make everything federal, okay, and they're in charge. And that's why one of the biggest lies in politics is all politics is local. You need to get voted in, vote the right people in at the local. It doesn't matter if you got a guy running for dog catcher here in Orlando, okay, he doesn't get in unless he's ignored by the parties or accepted by the parties, and they come down and put money into his campaign, stand on the stage with him, and the guy the other guy that's a citizen candidate trying to run for something local is completely ignored. He can't get on talk radio. He can't get on Bud Hedinger's show because Bud Hedinger's got to promote the Republican Party,
Something's never changed on that one.
Yeah, well,
exactly.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So the whole thing is – The whole thing is fixed. And let me tell you something while I'm ranting on the Republican Party. The Republican Party runs on all these issues that they've never done. You cannot, maybe you can find it. I've looked for it.
Nope.
You cannot find 1 year from the Great Depression up till now where the Republican Party has cut government other than the two terms that the federal government, that the two terms of Ronald Reagan. Every year they've always proposed a higher budget. The Democrats would propose a higher budget, and they would negotiate somewhere in the middle, and the Republicans would get blamed for trying to cut government, wanting to cut food stamps or cut children's lunch out. But the thing is they just didn't have as high an increase. They always have grown government every year from the Great Depression till now. Whenever Reagan left, Daddy Bush went right back to raising the government, raising the budget. So they've never did anything to turn back. And I'm not debating the issues. I'm debating the consistency of the candidates and the politicians. They have never ever done anything to turn back Roe v. Wade, and that's what they always run on. And
it's so true.
And all the moral issues, all the issues like secure the border. And here's another one: this secure the border. Do you know there is, out of the 50 states, 30 of them have amnesty cities, and only one or two of them have Democrat governors. And these Republican governors are the ones who authored it. It's not something somebody else, they inherited from the last governor. You know, the only states that are not, don't have amnesty cities are right in the middle of the country, and they're the smallest states.
That's
so,
true.
Republicans like Mitt Romney that has four sanctuary cities, Sarah Palin that has two sanctuary cities, and all the goodies for the illegals, whenever they start saying we need to secure the border, they are lying at the depth of their soul. They made an oath to the Constitution, and they're sitting there saying they believe in something during election time or in some endorsement of somebody that's running. They are saying this stuff when they made an oath. They are lying at the depths of their soul. Not just making up a lie. They are doing it at the depths of their soul. They made an oath to it.
I totally agree with you. And, I mean, right now, here the Republicans are starting again to go out pushing some kind of amnesty crap. And it's all because, somehow these idiots, for lack of a better word to call it, or more polite word to call it, somehow think if they go and do this that they're going to get a bunch of Hispanic votes. I mean, that just shows you how stupid the Republican Party has become. And that they have no principles. They stand for nothing.
You know, Sally, again, I'm I don't want to debate the issues, okay? I want to debate the consistency of the politicians.
Right.
At the turn of the year, last year, a couple months ago, I can't remember this guy's last name, but he's a federal judge. He's a gay activist judge, okay? And the Senate, 98 voting for affirming him and two not voting, which means they are for it. They just don't want you to see their vote. They want to make it look like, you know, they withheld because they can't say, no, we disagree with it. So 100% he was approved, and this will most likely be the next Supreme Court appointee, okay?
Jeez.
Now,
that's
which means Marco Rubio voted for this guy. Now Marco Rubio is talking about this black gay judge that he's against. Marco Rubio has to answer whenever he starts talking family values. Why was he voting for this guy, but he's against this guy because he's gay? Marco Rubio, he voted against this guy for this guy who's a gay activist. Now this other guy is a gay, and he's because, you know why? Because we're in an election year, and he's got to show people that he is family values. He believes in mom and dad and the little kids, okay? And see, he's a liar at the depth of his soul. If he has a conscience, he is violating it, and at some point will be evil. If he's past that point, he's already evil, which is possible. because he
and
knows
of course
what he's doing.
He himself, yeah. Well, Rubio's not up for election right now, but he's going to go out there and try and beat on the bandwagon for the others. And I would think anybody in Florida would be crazy to have him anywhere near him. But you know, we knows how crazy the system can be when it comes to that stuff. But
well,
all I know is people of Florida are dumb enough to reelect him again. I mean, Lord, pray for America. Lord have mercy.
Well,
household.
Well, you know, I just know where we're at. We got here. You can blame it on Obama, but you got here. We got here with the Republican Party on guard duty.
Oh,
They will not vote. They will not vote to defund Obamacare. Now they're talking about dismantling it one piece at a time, and I can tell you where their deception is. If you look in the 2010 election season, Marco Rubio ran around saying repeal Obamacare, and then on his election night when he won, in his victory speech, for the first time he said repeal and replace. He added that replace. See, they got their own idea, but they won't tell you what it is. And they won't. Health care is not going away. The Obamacare is not going away, which was Ted Kennedy authored it, and we knew it as Daschle Care, Reed Care, Hillary Care, Romney Care, and now Obamacare.
Oh yeah, the.
They'll make you feel smart. But Sally, they will make you feel smart on talk radio, because if you agree with Rush, they'll say, "Well, you're a high information voter. You know, you're real smart. You're informed, okay? But, you know, right there is the problem. Rush Limbaugh is the reason we got Obama with his Operation Chaos, who proved that Hillary couldn't beat McCain, and that caused the Democrats to put Obama up that they knew could beat McCain. So you know, Rush Limbaugh, of course, he's lost a lot of his listeners, and Savage has beat him. In his ratings, he's getting moved to smaller markets. But you'll still keep hearing that he's the godfather of talk radio and he's the big guy. But you know what? The people, there's enough people out there that ain't buying it.
Well, and, you know, the truth is, at least the last couple times I've listened to Rush, which I don't listen to him every day by any means, he has been coming down on the GOP more than – at one point I would have never thought he'd say a word against the GOP, but he is actually coming down on them. He's criticized them for alienating the Tea Party and all this kind of stuff. So it's
– Well, I can tell you why he – that they've got this thing going on now called the We Need a New Republican Party. You know, so we got to get rid of the establishment. But nobody will give me a list of who the establishment is. I had one talk show host out in California sent me a list of three guys. I sent them back, you know, things in their record, and asked him to send me another list, please, because these guys here are you know, that he thought was the good guys. And I told him, even if these guys were good, okay, they were the people we could count on, three in the Republican Party ain't enough. We ain't got that many millions of years to turn it around.
One thing I got to say, when you talk about the Republican establishment, oh my goodness, I have to throw this one out there, and you tell me what you're thinking. But you know, Huckabee is definitely the GOP establishment. And Huckabee has his show on Fox News on Saturday, and of course they replay it a couple times over the weekend. He says so many of the right things on his show until he's talked about Common Core and almost got his head chopped off. He says all the right things, but he's truly a GOP establishment person. He is talking about running again, but he just went out there this weekend and endorsed Mitch McConnell. So this Mitch McConnell is definitely GOP establishment. With the exception of a few, I mean, maybe 10, 15 at the most, when you go between the House and the Senate, there's a small handful that are not the establishment, but most are.
Well, there's one of those states that had amnesty cities, sanctuary cities, they call them.
Right.
Huckabee. He's got all these illegals from all countries, mostly Mexico, in his state collecting all the goodies, okay? And I know he's got a big heart. But we got to let our experience be judged by the standard of the law, the Constitution, and not by, you know, our experience. And so that's my first mark against him. My second mark was after, during that thing with, what was it, Reverend Wright was doing the chickens have coming home to roost. He was on a Fox. You can find this on YouTube. He was on Fox, and somebody had asked him what he thought about what he said. And he said, and you can go find this on YouTube, he said, well, sometimes when a preacher is preaching, he can stray from his notes. And they ask him, are you saying what he said is okay? He goes, no, what he said is what he said. No, I disagree with what he said. Okay, but listen, here's the key. If you stray from your notes, you don't say something you don't believe. Even if you do stray from your note, you still say what you believe. What he gave the pastor, Wright, Reverend Wright, he gave him some little pastoral courtesy. In other words, I'm not going to trash you because you're a man of the cloth. But Huckabee's not a man of the cloth when he can sit there and not call someone out for something that's wrong. Okay? So Huckabee, the same thing with Mitt Romney. He's sitting there endorsing Mitt Romney. And this is the thing. Mitt Romney's policies are the same as Obama's. Again, I'm not trashing the issues. I'm trashing the politicians. Everything that Obama is just now getting around to do after he got elected, Romney's already done Obamacare, because all of his staff that worked on Romneycare went over to the White House. His White House health care czar, it was Mitt Romney's health care advisor. Okay? So Mitt Romney's sitting here telling us a lie, saying he's going to repeal Obamacare. As soon as he gets in there, he's lying to the people. He's sitting there whenever, I don't know if you remember this, Obama was trying to get the media to look in to at least 10 years back on Romney's taxes. And the reason he wanted to do it is he wanted the people to hear Mitt Romney in 2007, before he ran for president in 2008, purchased Clear Channel. That means Rush Limbaugh and Bud Henninger and all these other talk show hosts worked for Mitt Romney.
Right.
So that's
right.
So Huckabee sitting there saying that he would vote for Romney and he's endorsing Romney, but you know, this is the thing. Obama is for abortion. Okay. Not only is Mitt Romney for abortion, he owned Stericycle, which was the medical company that destroyed the unborn baby's remains after he got aborted. Okay, and then Romney's sitting there saying he's pro. Listen, here's another one. The Boy Scouts of America, the first time the gay leaders being a part of the Boy Scout of America, Mitt Romney was sitting on the board of directors and was promoting this. James Dobson, who lost his soul too, James Dobson of then Focus on the Family, led the boycott against a lot of these companies like Wells Fargo that was for this, and they beat it back then, okay? But and nobody caught this, but in 2012, in September, a reporter stuck a mic in Mitt Romney's face and asked him, do you still support gay leaders and the Boy Scouts of America? And he said, yes, I believe in the rights of them to serve as scout leaders. And none of the right talk radio would pick it up. I don't expect the left media to pick it up, but they would not pick that up. And I sent it around. I linked it, and I sent it around to all these talk show hosts and said, I got all, some of them asked me to take them off my list, but I reminded them, look, you're sitting here promoting the guy that is for everything that you say you're against in your family values as conservatives. You know, and Sally, you don't have to agree with me. You don't have to agree with me on any of these things. But when you tell me you agree with me to get my favor, and then after you get my vote, then you go back to ignoring me, the closest word I can come up with is evil. You know, I don't know how people are not following this, other than, well, you know, we can't afford four more years of Obama. Well, the problem is Obama is more conservative than Romney, and that there is where Huckabee Huckabee cannot look himself in the mirror if he's got a conscience and not feel shame, especially being a man of the cloth that's supposed to be fighting for these.
Excuse me. Yeah, but see, to me, Huckabee is a perfect example of the GOP establishment.
Yeah.
Goes out there saying this one thing, and you know, like I say, you listen to his show on Saturday, and you the different sound bites, and you wow, he's really saying so many of the things that you want to hear. But then he goes off. He's going to say, when it comes to that Republican Party, he is going to do whatever they tell him to do. And I mean, last time he was out there endorsing John Micah, which he'll probably endorse him again. And this time, Mitch McConnell, it's like anybody that would endorse Mitch McConnell instead of the other guy, Matt Bevin, I think is his name, Matthew Bevin, who's a real conservative, it shows that those are the people who are part of the GOP establishment because they don't stand for anything. They'll throw, you know, they reject the true conservative, the true constitutionalist for the liberal progressive attitude of a Mitch McConnell. Can't even see. I mean, it'd be one thing if the GOP, there was nobody else running against this guy and they felt like they had no other choice and whatever, that they would do this, but not when they've got true conservatives going up against them. And they do that across the country. I've been hearing all sorts of things lately about the GOP. I mean, they're actually celebrating when they trash a Tea Party or conservative. So, the GOP is trashing the conservatives.
Sally, this is where America has lost. We were reminded early on from its founders. We've been reminded throughout history that America is for a moral people. Our system of government is for a moral people. And when you have the politicians out there telling us stuff we don't want, that we want to hear because it'll get us to the polls, and it's not what they believe, and they won't talk. They won't. I'd one of my biggest, you know, it's just, I don't know how, I look to the future with hope for America rebounding. Well, it will if the people can get control. If the people can get control, somehow or another turn it around. But, you know, there was two times in American history, since the Great Depression, there was two times that we had an opportunity to flush America. I mean, flush Congress, flush Washington with all the politicians out and new people in, you know, not professional politicians replace them. Only two times. The first time was during 9/11 when there was a plane that was, they believe, was planned for the Capitol, and those people kept it from happening by stopping it, and it landed in a plane. It crashed in a field in Pennsylvania. If that plane would have crashed there, there would have been people that had never been in politics go in, and America would have never looked the same. It would have probably got turned around. We would have been at war, but we would have seen patriotism because there would be people, common people, running for offices. The second time was in 2010 when there was more than 30,000 people across this country running. If you knew how many doctors in 2010 because of the health care issue was running, if you knew how many military people that came back from the war and was running because they knew what we needed to do to win the wars, if you knew how many business people were running, in Florida there was 672 people running for office. I went and counted it. 672 people, and there was only one non-political citizen that got elected, and that was Alan West. The rest of it was the same old Republicans that got elected, and we were told they're one of us. One of us. One of us. Like they quit their job to run for office, but they were all professional politicians. Harry Reid, the reason he won in Nevada is they had Sharon Angle and the Tea Party Express promoting her, and yet she was a professional politician. She had a professional Republican message. It wasn't the questions the people were asking in the Tea Party, and she kept giving the Republican answers. And then they say, well, you know, we got to beat, we can't, you know, The reason she lost is because they were trying to market her as if she was Sally Baptist running for office, but she wasn't. And people, there was enough people doing research and learning that they's like, no, this ain't gonna work. She's lying. They're lying. And you know, it's the same thing everywhere. So that was the 2010 was the second chance that America had to flush the politicians out and put new ones in. But the Republican Party, because they got in the Tea Party business with the Koch brothers and most of these groups, there's a new group out there. They're all funded by people and the Republican Party, like the Koch brothers are sending money to these grassroots groups. You got a new group that just came up. It's supposed to be young intellectuals, right? Some of them are early in their career, and some of them are still in school, in college, studying their craft. It's called The Can Kicks Back. I have sent them four times who funded and founded your legally founded your organization, and I've sent everybody that has an email listed. I've sent them, and nobody has responded. Four times they haven't responded to tell me who founded and funded legally that organization, because they know it's not a bunch of students from every parts of the country that got together on the internet and said, "Wow, let's like every one of these Tea Party Express, Tea Party Patriots." These were founded by these are the national groups. They were founded by Republican operatives. Okay?
What about
professional people? They were professional political junkies.
But you know, right now it's, and of course this is the game that they play with us, we know that, but right now there does seem to be a fracture between the Tea Party and the GOP. Because
the reason
Tea Partiers are getting pissed off even more.
Well, the reason is the Democrats are not intimidated with the Tea Party because they see the fingerprint, not at the common level. The people that showed up in parks down here in Orlando and in every city across this country, that was common people. Most of these people were not political junkies. They got registered for the first time because they're looking at their children's future and they're looking at their economy and they're like, we got to do something about this. But the Republican Party jumped in and started putting these buses together and with these professional media and professional singers and you know, going across the country doing touring all the things. They're wrapping up, sewing up, trying to get the connected with the local Tea Party so they can feed you the information to get you educated, which means you're going to end up becoming a Republican. And that didn't work. It didn't work. It didn't work. They won. The Republicans proved in 2010 they were better politicians than the people, but it didn't work again in 2012 when people said, I'm not voting. There's no need in me voting, and that's why the Democrats are not intimidated with the Republican Party, with the Tea Party, because there's so many people that are disillusioned with it, you know. We got this lady that look at this inconsistency. The Tea Party Patriot, the Tea Party Express, they have this girl named Amy Kramer. They, for a long time, were calling her co-founder. Now, I don't know how she co-founded the Tea Party Express when the founder lives in Southern California and she lives in near Atlanta, Georgia, and they got together and she's a co-founder. No, I'm going to tell you what happens because I got a copy of the court case. I can send it to you. She was a part of the group in the Tea Party Patriots. And then whenever her part was to come up with the account, the account whenever people send you money, PayPal. She was supposed
PayPal,
to be in charge of putting together and being in charge. Well, when the money started coming in, she thought this was her money, and she went shopping. And they said, no. Okay, well, they had to fix that. They had to fix that and squash it. So what they did is they moved her over to Tea Party from Tea Party Patriots and made her part of Tea Party Express to make it look like she was the co-founder. So because she went to court and they sued her and she had to pay this money back. But the thing is they had to salvage this what do you call it, this drama or this soap opera that sprung up. It was drama they had to squelch, okay, to keep everything cool with the Tea Party and the media. So they just squelched that. But what did she do? Now they're calling her the co-chairman. You know, I don't know how many groups have two chairmen or chairpersons. I've never seen that other than in this situation. You used to have a chairman and everybody else are board members, but we got two chairmen here or chairpersons. So it's all about, Sally, it's all about we got to keep the people looking to the Tea Party so we can get the Republicans part back in office. And the Republicans are going to lose. It's over. It's over for the Republicans. They've already proved it.
Hey, and I totally agree. And, I mean, I've been out there telling people, you know, of course, I'm a no-party affiliate. I was a Republican. I ain't going to go there again. But, if you know, and here in Florida, because you have closed primaries, it really makes it's a pain for that. So if you're going to be part of a party, I mean, if you want to go out there and try to do the thing where you're going to vote against somebody, whatever, go ahead. I think that's a waste of time. And that's what people did when it came to Obama in his first election, 2008. But, you know, it's like if you're going to be in a party, leave the Republican Party and go to the Libertarian Party.
Well,
now, not
well,
that I totally agree with the Libertarian Party, but it's more conservative than the Republicans will ever be again. And it might be the closest or the Constitutional Party. Move to one of these other parties so that you're not part of that GOP. And
Sally,
send money to them. Yeah.
I don't have a problem with anybody that wants to be a part of any group. But what my big problem is the two parties own the election process, and they decide I can't vote in the primary unless I'm registered a Democrat or a Republican. And the Constitution guarantees me, and this is why I would never be a part of neither one of these parties ever again. I was a Republican from age 18 all the way up to 2004, and they wouldn't listen to me, so I just said, that's it, I'm independent, and I'll never vote. I wouldn't vote for Jesus Christ if he was running for president or any office under a Republican. And the reason is the Republican Party has denied me my right to the political process. They tell me you can't vote unless you're a part of one of these two parties. You got to answer this. Where is political parties in the Constitution? The 24th Amendment says the right of citizens to vote in any primary. Any primary.
Exactly.
And it lists president, vice president, and it lists all the offices at a federal level that I get to vote for in the primary. And here's another question. Where in the Constitution is the Electoral College? There is no groups in the Constitution. It is only members. These members, I get to vote for the members. The two parties are deciding who the members will be, who this college is. And these members in the Constitution are not obligated with their vote. They can vote for whoever they want, and I can ask the member I voted for, why did you vote for that guy? And all he has to say is because it's my vote. The parties are got a system set up that if you're elector, part of the Electoral College, one of the electors, your vote's already committed. You can't show me that in the Constitution. It says I get to vote for the electors, and then the electors vote for the president, and then they have another vote for the vice president. The vice president isn't picked by the president doesn't pick his running mate. I pick his running mate, you know? I pick
right.
the electors,
right.
and the electors picks the running mate. I get to pick, you know, it's not – They've denied me my right in the same article, I mean, in the same 24th Amendment there, it says, shall not be denied nor abridged. My right to vote has been denied, and the word abridged means partial rights. So I get partial rights. I get to vote if I register as a Democrat or a Republican. Why doesn't the Electoral College serve all these other political parties, the Green Party, the Independent Party, the Libertarian, all these other parties are just regular private groups except for the two Republican Party and Democrat parties are government institutions. They have denied me my right to vote.
I totally agree. We've had this discussion in the past, and it's so true. And, you know, here in the state of Florida, and there's a lot of stuff that's left to the states to make up their own laws on this stuff, which is, I think, is bad, too. But, you know, it's trying to tell people that you got to get rid of these parties. You need open primaries. Everybody should have a right to vote for whoever they want to, and we could take back this ballot box, take back these offices, like,
yeah,
so fast. And you know what?
But
that's not to say you can't, you know, the GOP can have their own party someplace else. Yeah.
On the federal law, on the federal races, it says that Congress shall enforce this with appropriate legislation, and they've let the states take care of everything. The only thing the states are supposed to do with the federal elections, it says, times, places, and manners. That is logistical. That is nothing legal. That is logistical. That your boss could say, we're going to have a company policy. I'm going to put this group of people in charge of times, manners, and places. That means you pick what day, what time, what time the events of the barbecue will be and where the park will be. All that is getting the state so that they can decide, okay, we're going to have all of our elections on this Tuesday instead of the federal elections here. They can coordinate it so it's organized. You know, but it doesn't. It's only logistical. It doesn't say anything about the state politicians gets to decide the federal elections and how it goes. That Congress is supposed to make the laws concerning that. It says, and the Congress shall enforce this with appropriate legislation. They haven't wrote the legislations to that, unless it's something like McCain-Feingold, so they can get more money into the campaigns.
Yeah, well, another story on that one. But what
it's a mess up. It's messed.
I think the election should be, first off, I don't believe in the early voting crap. I don't think we should have that early voting. I don't like that at all. And I also think when it comes to on the general election a day, there should be the same block of time nationwide. So everybody is voting at the same time. And you not keep it from 7 to 7 kind of thing. You know, maybe we'd have to go and work out the logistics of what time it's going to be. But so when the polls truly all close at the same time. And
yeah,
have
you noticed some towns that have liberal strongholds, like Orlando, on the Orlando city limits? You ever notice they don't have their elections on election day? They have it in an off time in the year.
Yeah.
When most people are working and they don't want to they're not following politics, and then all of a sudden you hear one morning that yesterday so many people showed out for Buddy Dyer and he got reelected again, and you're like, oh, we had elections? Wow. Oh, so he got elected again because this ain't in the media and we're not debating because all the liberals in the cities where they want to keep their stronghold, they have an election because they have that right. They have that right. And that all goes back to they are living by the federal constitution when they say we'll pick on when we want to do our elections. You know?
Yeah, anything
they know
that
they
can to control the outcome.
Yep. But we got a hard year coming up ahead of us, you know?
Oh, I'm telling you, couple other things. Now, I'm not sure how much time you got, but this is a good conversation, so I got some other things I want to go over with you. But I want to make sure I put something out there for everybody, and I need you, maybe you can send this to your email list, too.
Okay.
Doc Thompson, I don't know if you're familiar with Doc Thompson. He's on the Blaze Radio. He's on in the morning. I listen to him in the morning. You can replay it any time. But DocThompson.com, they're asking for candidates. They want to interview the conservative candidates. They want to help promote the conservative candidates. So I'm asking everybody in Florida to send an email to or go to the website and submit it on the website, DocThompson.com, and say that you want them to interview Adrian Wiley for Florida governor. We've got to get rid of Rick Scott. The
yeah,
Florida
you say,
Republican
is
Party.
Doc, D-O-C?
Yes, it's DocThompson, DocThompson.com. And there's a page out there. It says something about candidate form or something, and you go onto that page and you say who you want them to interview. So trying to push to get Adrian Wiley out there. He is a Libertarian candidate. I believe he's the only Libertarian candidate for the governor, so he will definitely be on the general ballot if that's the case. And then we've really got to push because the Republican Party of Florida is so corrupt, so liberal progressive, so communist anymore, and Rick Scott's got to go. We have got to get rid of Rick Scott. I cannot. He's been such bad news for Florida. And I don't want to see whoever, I'm trying to remember, Alex Sink, I think, is one of the Democrats running. And, of course, good old Charlie Crist. We don't need him out there. You know, get rid of these people, too. So we really got to push for Adrian Wiley out there. Give him as much as we possibly can.
I tell you
and
what,
you know,
Alex,
yeah.
Alex Sink is what she would do to the economy and sink it.
Exactly.
She would.
Her name is more significant than what we realize.
Yeah, she would sink it.
Sink. Yep, that's true. And also, you remember the Colonel, Larry Mazinski, and I think you've probably seen some of the stuff. He's running for Georgia District 11 for Congress.
He needs to get in there.
We need him in there, too. So he's another one I'm pushing for people to go out there and ask Doc Thompson to interview. So we need, because these are the people that don't have all the money because they don't have the political party establishment behind them, but they're the ones that are the true conservatives. So, and Larry Mazinski, Colonel Mazinski, he is a Republican, but they have a lot of Republicans running right now, so the establishment's all over the board up there in Georgia as well. So push that out there. Let many people know about that. The other thing, Operation American Spring. Operation American Spring, I think it's what it's called, being called. That's going to be in D.C. on May 16th. How much do you know about what's going on with that? I'm just really now kind of getting more information on it.
I haven't followed it. I've heard everybody using that word, and I haven't listened too hard. The thing I'm thinking is, you know how everything gets copied because nobody has a mind to think up something on their own. I don't know if the politicians have decided this or people, but I know we got this thing called the Arab Spring, where supposedly this was their day, and it wasn't a very good day. So I know this much. I don't know who's behind it, but I do know that Obama's not listening. And the Republican parties ain't fighting. He wouldn't be getting away with it with everything he's gotten away with. So I don't know if this is something the Republicans dreamed up to try to get people organized. I'm kind of like standing back on some of this. About every group I find out there right now, I can trace it back to it's being funded by Republican donors that are wealthy, it's the whole thing again. Going, you get like education or abortion or anything else, or gay marriage or whatever. If you can get control of it at a federal level, then it ain't going away. I think that's why I'm not messing with the. I'm not signing politicians. I'm not. I'll send your stuff out, but when I get stuff passed around on my email now, I don't go and make phone calls. We got this guy, John Stemberger. Thank God for what he's doing with some of the family issues he fights for. We really do need to fight hard to save the family. But I've told him I will not pass any of his stuff around. I used to every year whenever I got my taxes paid and straightened out. I would make a donation to his organization because his firm is in the same building right next to my accountant. Not last year, but 2 years ago, I went in, and whenever I walked over and told him, I'm not going to give anything this year because you've got to give up the Republican Party. Everything that you're fighting for and the candidates that you support contradicts everything you're fighting for. You can't sit here and call Mitt Romney a conservative and we need to vote for him while you're fighting to save the family, whether it's marriage, abortion, or anything else.
Total agreement. You can't be a conservative and a Republican at the same time.
I'm not going to get busy for all these groups that keep putting the same people back in front of us. you know.
Oh, exactly. Totally defund the GOP. Do not give any money to the GOP. I'll give money to a candidate I believe in. Like I say, the colonel's a Republican, and I would do what I could to help his campaign, but I wouldn't give any money to the GOP. And, you know, it's there's definitely that part, what you're talking about. I've done, as you well know, I've done what I can to get people out of the Republican Party because it's too corrupt these days. But I do know you're not going to get rid of them all. There's going to be good people in the Republican Party, but they're surrounded by the whatever you want to call it, the scum, the traitors, the progressives that have taken over it. But the thing is, go ahead.
I thought Colonel Moransky, all he needs to do is, if he can get before people and speak, I think he will have no problem. And so it's all going to come back to who does the Republican Party endorse, and if they don't endorse him, he's not getting on any talk shows. I've sent him some stuff. I've sent him some hosts. I don't know if he followed up on it. Some of them are out of this state, even though, you know, or they're on the West Coast, but it's the country here, because people got family back in Georgia. But I don't know. I think if he can be heard, then any conservatives that hear him will stop and listen to him. But, again, they control if he's going to be heard. There was 23 people in 2010 running for Senate in Florida, and only Marco Rubio, Meeks, and Chris got anything from talk radio.
I know, and that's the part that's so disgusting, and that's what people have got to protest it. That's why Thompson out there trying to give the real conservatives some airtime. That's why we got to push to get these people on there and as much as we can. And I really do think, with that being Blaze Radio, Doc Thompson, me, you go out there and say there's a real war going on with Rick Scott here, because, you know, the conservatives can't stand Rick Scott. We might actually give him a boost to have somebody decent. And we need to have open primaries. And, you know, it's how many times I've talked to people. But after the last couple of times, I mean, even in the past, the GOPers the Tea Party GOPers, who would still say you had to have this primary thing. And now they're changing their attitude on it, too. And it's like, which is good. The question is, do they change it fast enough? One last thing when it comes to this Operation American Spring. The way it's on SaveAmericaFoundation.com, and I've seen it on some other sites. What little I know of it so far is this is going to start on like May 16th, and they're wanting how many millions of people to go to the Capitol. Then the other part, as I'm understanding it, after they've had the initial, whatever you want to call it, rally or protest or something, march on Washington, they want a lot of people to stay there who are going to basically circle that Capitol and force those other people out of office. I don't know how it's all going to play out. In theory, I love it. It sounds great. I'm still trying to see about the logistics and how it's being set up and how many people are really going to be into it. Because we've been saying that on this show here for a couple of years, that we need to march on Washington and take back that Capitol, force them all out of those offices. Say, you're going home, we're not going to keep you. And this is without guns and you know, any of that stuff. It's going to be a massive invasion, takeover of Washington with the American Patriots doing it. And I mean, if they go and try and kill all the Patriots, if the federal government tries to shoot all these Americans, there's going to be a whole other story. But it's very, very specific. There is no guns or weapons or whatever. This is a massive march on D.C. It's taking over D.C. through the American people saying, we've had enough, you're going home, we're electing a new government. And I love the idea of it, what I know so far. I'm just not sure how successful it can be. It can be if we get enough people there, and we get people who truly go there for that purpose. It's just still trying to learn who's doing what, kind of like what you were saying.
Yeah, I haven't paid much attention to it. Just because, the thing is, you know how it is. You can hear some theme in politics, and then you hear the local businesses using that theme, too, because they're using it. And I just, you know, everything gets copycatted as if it's not original. So that's why I haven't even paid any attention. to anybody when they start talking about it, because it's like, you know, what? I don't know. I hope it's legitimate and it's common people and not the politicians trying to organize the people.
Yeah. Now, the other
No, I was saying, because you got this other side out there, too, not the Tea Party, but the other side out there, this Occupy stuff going on. I don't know if that's supposed to be the spring.
and that's all part of this, too. You have to be concerned if you're trying to get that many people up there. You know you're going to have some of those who aren't on your side who are going to be showing up, too. I mean, that's just the nature of the beast on something like that. So it should be a very interesting event if they get as many people there as they're expecting to or trying to. And how many you get from the, I'll call them the antis. You know, to me, they're the communists / anti-Americans. Those are the ones that are trying to destroy this country. And that has nothing to do with political parties. It's just those who hate America and are going to do what they can to destroy it, which includes a lot of the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Speaking of the Muslim Brotherhood, this is another thing. I just saw this today, and I don't know if you saw the email come through, if you'd seen anything on it. The Muslim Brotherhood, these people are being allowed to bypass airport security now? Some deal where a group of Muslim Brotherhood individuals were allowed to bypass airport security. I don't know if you had heard anything on that. It's like
No.
of them. Because the Muslim Brotherhood, those are you talk about the true enemies of this country, that is them. They don't believe Christians or Jews or anybody that's not an Islamist is supposed to live. He's supposed to kill everybody. And so they're saying, well, come on in, take it over. We don't care. I mean, how many has Obama let in this country as over his term so far? How many of these people has he brought in to take over this country? I mean, literally orchestrated his own invasion of this country.
We are going to wake up one morning, Sally, and we're going to say, oh, my God, why? And the thing is, we're going to be able to look back and say, you know, I'm shocked but not surprised, if that makes sense.
Well, and it does. It's like those of us who are paying attention to anything that's going on around us, I mean, you have to be drinking so much Kool-Aid and totally brain dead to not see any of this going on around you. But there's some, you know, you try to warn people, but everybody just wants to keep in some kind of denial, delusion, whatever, that this just can't happen. And I mean, I truly believe there's going to be that, you're going to take the situation with that Boston massacre, that's going to happen in numerous cities across this country, large metropolitan areas across this country all at once. And that's when we're going to be brought to our knees. We're going to show Boston was a test. I truly believe Boston was a test. And look what they did to Boston. They brought a major metropolitan city to its knees, locked down its citizens who had no guns. And I mean, you just think of what that truly means. And then you go and take that, and you think about the larger metropolitan areas across this country. And you went and did that to 12 or 20 of them on the same day. And they could do it. There's nothing that could stop what we're doing right now. And we've got a White House occupier that supports the Muslim Brotherhood over the Americans because he's a traitor. Then you got morons like McCain that are out there not securing the border and wanting to promote all this kind of nonsense too. It's just a matter of time before it happens. And I'm,
you know,
you know, there's part of me. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that border thing. That, you know, it's like we're staring a snake in the eye, inches away from our nose, and one day it's gonna bite. It's gonna bite the tip of our nose, and we're gonna, or our throat, and we're gonna say, I knew that. You know, it's like looking at the bus. They got us standing in the road, debating the bus that's going to hit us.
Yeah.
You know?
They are. I mean,
and when this happens,
and if it's not treason,
you know,
go ahead.
You know, when it happens, your response, it can't be angry, okay? It's just going to be shake your head. Shake your head like, you know, any brain donor could have seen this coming. And yet, you know, the problem is, I say they got us debating it, but they're debating something that they're not going to do anything with. You know, the Republicans will bring it up because they know that that'll get you to the polls. And I, you know what? They can flush America, but I will not vote and violate my conscience. I will vote only for citizen candidates that are closest to the Constitution and my conscience. But I will not let anybody oppress my soul and tell me that if I don't vote for this Republican, I'm responsible for this Democrat getting in there.
No, you know, I haven't listened to that for years.
I'm man enough to know that whenever I'm not up to the job, I will step aside and say somebody else do it and I'll support you. But these people keep demanding that they've got the answer and they haven't produced anything.
It's exactly the truth. And the GOP needs to go away. It needs to be flushed. It needs to be, it's just... defund the GOP.
It's over. The Republican Party is over. There is no Republican Party. They are the big tent. The only way they can ever exist as an organization is to get more people that are Democrats or that call it. You see, you know, again, oh, man, you ever heard of this talk show host Tammy Bruce? She's a conservative. She calls herself a conservative Christian. Okay, you know, and if you go and she's a conservative Republican and she's all about the Republican Party, but when you go to look her up on Wikipedia and look at her resume, she worked for Feinstein, she worked for Boxer, she worked for what's his name. Everybody that we're supposedly as Republicans fighting against, she's worked for them, and she's worked for the Republicans that we've supported. It's like, you know, there's no difference. There's no difference between the two parties. So they're just different tags, different labels on the collar. But, you know, she wants to call herself a conservative and talk like a Republican. But there is—it's just a smoke. Is there the two pressures? The two parties take turns taking the pressure off of each other, but they're still the same. They complement each other's policy, and they just keep moving forward. But they got us down here fussing over Republican Democrat. But it doesn't matter which one of them wins. They're still moving in one direction. There is no Republican Party. It's two parties. It's one party, but part of them wear red shirts and the other one wears blue shirts. But it's still one group. It's one team.
The Progressive National Committee. I don't know if it was Glenn Beck who first coined that phrase. Excuse me. I don't know if it was Glenn Beck who first coined the phrase Progressive National Committee. But that's really what it all is. And, I mean, I love the way the logo that he did up, whoever did it from the Blaze, where the left side's the donkey, the right side's the elephant, you know, they're attached at the hip kind of thing, and then it's the Progressive National Committee. That's really what they are. It doesn't matter what party they're running under. It's all part of the Progressive National Committee. That's why we got to get people outside of it, and that's why we got to formally shut down the GOP and defund them in every which way we can, and just let them go ahead and go over to the Democrats where they really belong. I mean, that's the progressive mentality or the Communist Party, whichever one.
Getting back to the transportation issue for a second, you know, everything that we've been blaming Obama, like these high-speed rails that he's trying to put cram down our throat, It's the Republicans that's been working on these things for years before he comes along, and it's John Micah and Dan Webster that's been for all these transportation issues, working on them diligently, and then all of a sudden Obama gets in and he's cramming this down our throat, and people will vote. I don't understand it. It's like what I'm saying. They take turns taking the pressure up, but it's like, why would I get mad at Obama with his transportation whenever John Micah is the one that's getting all the footwork done? You know?
Oh, I know. There is no difference. John Micah is still out there promoting anything to do with ScamRail, and we see that ScamRail coming here through Orlando. It's going to be a nothing but a waste tax dollar boondoggle. But the Republicans are promoting it, so it's like, again, the Republicans aren't conservative. I mean, it's a big farce. It's just truly a big farce. And, of course, with Rick Scott, I'm trying to remember, it's a foreign company that's coming in to operate this, or they're trying to push a foreign – I've lost track on if it's a foreign company who's actually going to operate this this commuter rail that John Micah has pushed for so long. And the whole thing, and then, you know, you go over to what's happening with the Expressway Authority, with Stephen Freecourt, who's going to take over, and everything that went on with that. And that's all to do with Rick Scott and who he handpicks to put on that board, who's going to go vote whatever way he wants to go on this stuff. And there's, foreign entities getting involved, foreign corporations getting involved. I mean,
yeah.
It's just unbelievable. It really is unbelievable.
I was riding on 429 the other night, and I thought of Dan Webster. You know, Dan Webster's 429 is named Dan Webster Highway. Okay?
I know.
This is the funny part about it. I'm riding on the road my taxes have paid for. They make me pay to ride on it, and Dan Webster wants to let foreigners come in and buy this stuff up and let me give my money to the foreigners.
It's just so despicable.
You know, it's the NAFTA thing, but, you know, you can't get people to talk about NAFTA. I still can't get people to go read the contract with America 1994. Newt Gingrich promised us eight promises and lied on every one of them. And then the very first promise was, we will pass a law that Congress has to live by the same laws the rest of the country does. And they couldn't pass it because they didn't have enough R's, even though they had a majority in both houses. You know, and right there is not just that one law right there, that one promise that he broke, not only is the theme of his whole entire political career, but it's the theme of his life. He's a liar. You know?
Absolutely. Oh, it's absolutely the truth. It's just so, on the same line, but a little bit different. Paul Ryan, what they did with this budget, Paul Ryan going out there acting like he was cutting the budget. Excuse me, one second here. Crazy weather's been giving me a sore throat, so hopefully I don't have to start coughing again here. But Paul Ryan, in all this nonsense, how many people believe that he actually did anything that was going to reduce the deficit? Oh, it's going to reduce it in 10 years. He can't walk any future Congress into anything like that. Whole thing is so stupid. Excuse me. And I just don't understand how people can be so blind by it. I just don't. Where are people? Of course, public education, I guess, has a lot to do with it. And then we've got this other. Yeah.
I believe, you know, when Paul Ryan did that, I heard him on several shows, and a couple of these talk show hosts really called him out. Mark Levin called him out pretty strong on it, and basically let him know, no, you're bullcrapping us. You can't, you know, this is bullcrap, in your other words. But I think the Republican Party, I don't care how many Democrats they reach, I don't think they can get enough people. They've made too many people mad. They've hurt too many people, and people are sitting around. This is what gets me. People telling you in the last election, if you don't vote for Romney Ryan, that, you know, it will be on your shoulders if Obama gets reelected, and whatever he does to this country will be on you. And then you see him come up feeding people a pile of trash. Okay. You know what? The Republicans have lost every time. Obama has won every time. I can't believe that it's real. I can't believe that you know, wrestling might be possibly real, but they're faking it.
Absolutely. Absolutely the truth. And it's just like, how can, again, it just kind of amazes me, how much Kool-Aid are these people drinking? I think so many, thank God so many Americans have woken up. We still need more to wake up. But God gave you a brain. Try using it instead of believing all this crazy crap that they're giving us. They're destroying this country left and right, excuse me, at all levels. And we've got to stop it. I mean, it's time is running out for us to be able to save this country. I still think we've got some time. We've got hope for it. But the The other thing that I got to get out there, and I'm sure you must have been following this one as well, the 40s—they just barely did not pass the Small Arms Treaty with the UN. It was something like 58 to 50 something to 46. How many is in the Senate? 100 in the Senate. Excuse me, 54 to 46. To vote against the Small Arms Treaty with the UN. But 46 American senators voted to surrender American rights to the United Nations, to surrender our rights to own, to bear arms, to for our Second Amendment to the United Nations. Think about that, what that really means, 46 senators. Isn't that disgusting? People believe in. And, of course, we all know Bill Nelson from Florida was one of them. You know, Rubio didn't dare vote on that one, I guess, or vote that way on that one. He would have really been out there. But we almost lost our rights to bear arms to the United Nations.
But if it's that close, you know, what they can't get now, they always come back later and they make deals. Somebody can change their vote. And here's another one. Whenever they start kicking your door down and taking your stuff, and, you know, is the Republicans going to stand up and say, what are they going to do? I mean, they can say, hey, you can't do this, President. But guess what? What have they done? Everything he's done, they haven't done any. You know, I guess we can't impeach him because we don't have the numbers. Well, I guess the police officer, if a guy's really, really bad, we can't enforce the law because we just ain't got enough cops, or our cops ain't tough enough. You know, the Republicans ain't trying. They're purposely letting this stuff pass through. They're pretending like they're fighting, and they're because they want to get it reelected. And you know, and they bank on people's short memory.
That is so true. They keep thinking, they'll forget about that. The American people are too stupid to remember what we did 2 years ago. They'll forget about all that.
Rubio's
all
doing it
nonsense.
Now. Rubio's already doing it. He voted for this gay. Which he's got the right. I'm not going to take any right away from him or any opinion, but he voted against this for this gay a couple months ago. Now he's against gays because we're in election year and the Republicans are about family values. Well, I remember family values and people wanted a marriage amendments across this country, and one judge can change all them signatures to a law. And where's the Republicans holding these judges accountable for their behavior that isn't Constitution? You know, so it just like I said, they got us in the road, and if they can keep us debating about the bus that's going to hit us, then when it hits us, then we'll have to recover and do the best we can after that. But meanwhile, we've melted down another level in our conscience, and or people have gotten tired and just said, I'm out of it, you know. We're
exactly.
In trouble. We are in really bad trouble.
We are. And it's, you know, I mean, even you talk to other people and you've talked to them over the years, and as things go on, you say, this is what's happening over here, and you thought this wasn't going to happen. Isn't this the proof that it did happen? You know, and you keep thinking after all this time, surely you're going to wake up and realize that this is no longer a conspiracy theory, that this is what's really happening. And
you know, Sally,
several years ago,
I read a book called The Hungry Years by T.H. Watkins. It was about the Great Depression. And this is what really impressed me. This is what really impressed me about the American people. This little boy, the author of this book, he was a little boy during the Great Depression, and his mom, he was just a little boy, wasn't even in school yet, and his mom was listening to the radio. She got up, walked over, cut it off, and said, come on, let's go in your room. And he goes in the room. He didn't understand what was going on, but she took all of his toys out. They put it in a pile, and she goes, whenever I tell you which box to put it in, she put this in that box, okay, put this in that box. And she would look at the bottom of the toy and hand it to him, and he would put it in the box, okay? And then when they got both of the boxes filled up, separated, she picked the one box up, went out in the yard, poured some gas on it, lit a fire, and burned this up, okay? What he found out later as an adult, she had looked on the bottom of all these toys, and anything that said made in Japan, she took it outside and burned it. Okay? This is one woman who did this, and she didn't need to wait to ask her husband, what do we do? This was one woman that didn't have to get on, find out what her neighbors were doing. This lady made a decision to renounce China, okay, to boycott China, I mean Japan, just on hearing the news as an individual. That was the resolve of most of the people that afterwards ran down and enlisted and we went to war, okay? They've got that same thing's happening and has been happening in America, but the Republican Party is there trying to provide leadership for the leadership vacuum for these people rising up. There, we don't need a leaders. I stand alone, and I found out in the last three elections, I stand alone with more than 40 million people who refuse to vote for the Republicans or the Democrats. They either voted for citizens or they stayed home. I voted. I'm voting. The only election I voted at, I ever sat out was the 2008 election. But you know what? I'm finding that whenever it falls apart, I will find those people out there and individuals that will help me if I'm out of food, who I can help if they're out of food, if they need a gun or I need a gun or ammunition. You know, when it comes right down to it, it will be individuals, people taking care of each other, families and friends and neighbors. And you know what? Whenever that happens, when that happens, we'll know the people around us, and we'll have an idea of who's not good.
And you know, that gets back to the true core values of what this country was founded on: people truly, genuinely caring about each other and helping each other, instead of expecting a federal government or the nanny state routine to do everything for them. And also standing up for what's right and wrong, believing, like you say, the thing with Japan. I right now, I think we all know it's extremely difficult to never buy anything made in China. But I do my best, and I mean, and I can only imagine how much money I've saved, because I said, well, I don't really need that. It's made in communist China, which is another thing. People keep saying China. Let's be honest and call it what it is, communist China. So why are we in bed with a communist country?
And you know who that goes back to? That goes back to the Republicans, because it was always the Republicans all the way back in the 70s who decided that we can be friendly to them and engage them in economy and change them, make them into a democracy whenever they start having McDonald's and Burger Kings and driving cars. So what we'll do is we'll make them friends. So they started doing this most favored trade status. And every year they would review their oppression record and decide, well, we're going to let you be in most favored trade country again and keep you involved in sending our stuff over there, and so you can have our money so that we'll make you nice, okay? No, you don't turn enemies around by bowing to them.
Right, exactly. The total nonsense, stupidity, whatever. Or those that's really the believers of some one-world government routine, the thought that they were somehow going to convert communist China into a democracy or a free society? I mean, how stupid can these people be, or what was their intention? I mean,
their intention is they got a knife, we got a gun, and they say, okay, I'll tell you what, let's lay our weapons down. We lay our gun down, they pick up the gun, they got the gun and the knife. And we're going,
exactly. Exactly it. We keep aiding and arming the enemy, the Muslim Brotherhood, the way we have aided the Muslim Brotherhood to come in and take over, and the Chinese nationals to come over and in this country and take over this whole country. And I'm like, isn't this treason? When are we going to start calling this stuff what it really is? It's treason. Aiding the enemy is treason. And what part of this do people not understand? And what part of it will they refuse to jump on the case of these people in public office? You know, John McCain's one of the biggest treasonous traitors I think there could ever be. And you really, in a case like John McCain, it's like, you sacrificed so much at one point, being a POW and everything, but what has happened to you? What has happened to you since you went to Washington, D.C., be only converted into a communist? And, I mean, I'm just calling people what they are. I'm tired of
he is a communist. He is a communist. Here's one that I don't understand. You know, Sarah Palin is trashing Obama because of his Syrian policy, but won't trash John McCain, who's up to his ears in Obama's Syria policy. And when you say something on her Facebook, she sponges your name and your comments and blocks you. Okay? So it's like, what is it? It's like she's sitting around trashing Obama in June of 2012. Barack Obama gave 7 oil-rich Alaskan islands to Russia, and Hockey Mom didn't say one word. Maybe it's because she signed. Maybe it's because she endorsed the UNC treaty before Congress when she was a governor. She doesn't want to talk about that, but she made an oath to the Constitution. She lied at her soul. She lied at the depth of her soul. That means she put her will into this lie.
Exactly. It is so true. And, I mean, when you look at the likes of Sarah Palin, there's times when I think, is she really this clueless as to what she's done? Does she truly believe she's somehow done the right thing and she's just whatever, you know, mentally challenged or something? Or is it really the rhetoric that she manages to push? I mean, because there's times when you're listening to her and she seems like she actually, does she truly believe her own rhetoric? I guess that's the question. Does she truly believe her own rhetoric? Does she not understand what she did with it, what was going on with the Alaskan islands?
You know what I think it is? I think she's probably coming from where she's at, from her roots, and she's a really good moral person. But like some couple media people I know who are down here on the Internet, they see where it's going, and they know that down here at the bottom, it's not going to be good. So if they can break out and be a part of the crowd, and whenever it really gets bad, they'll have a place at the table. I know a couple media people who are pursuing media opportunities, and it's all Republican, because they know that if they can do everything just right, then Republican radio will jump on because they got the right message. And I've seen two of them that I know of who at one point I would jump in front of them to catch a bullet, and now I got to say, no, you guys are sellouts. All you're doing is you're carrying the water because it breaks you out so you can quit your job and get over here and be making real money and be have a place at the table. It's like all these talk show hosts in the last election that pushed Mitt Romney over Obama, and now it's like you can't tell them, they knew who Mitt Romney was, but they just like, well, this is who we got to do if you want to keep your job. I don't know if you noticed this, Sally, but in talk radio, this happened right after the 2008 election. When Mitt Romney dropped after the election, he started moving stuff around in Clear Channel. We got more Hispanics. I don't know if you remember this guy that was here in Orlando. Bud Hedinger took over his show. I'll think of it in a minute. Pat Campbell.
Pat
Campbell was on the ball. You know what they did? They moved Pat Campbell out somewhere out to the Midwest, and he's doing vitamin interviews at 3:00 in the morning on Sunday morning. Okay, I'm sure he's making good money, but they knew because he would go up on these Fox News Channel and get up there and jump in some liberal's face and back him down, and he spoke out against Mitt Romney's stuff. But they moved all these people around before, from 08 up till 2012, and then in 2012, before the primary in November, the end of November before the primary started, they moved Rusty Humphreys and Michael Savage, mostly out of Florida, but mostly off of the I-4 corridor. And the only place they were strong in Florida was in the Panhandle, and Newt Gingrich got it, and Mitt Romney got the primaries everywhere else in Florida. So they moved stuff around. They're moving talk radio around again. They just pulled Herman Cain out of Central Florida, and they're bringing in these newer, younger talk show hosts because they got to reach the young people and kind of squelch these other people, these older guys that has, you know, the old Republicans it's like, you see that, you hear the liberal media, okay, you go, what about the Republican media? It's got just as much propaganda in it, too. When you don't let a man get on the radio and give his opinion, even though he's making good ratings. Rush Limbaugh stayed on the air strong during the last election, and they moved Michael Savage completely back to almost nothing and then brought him back after the election. He was mostly on the Internet during the campaign, you know, because, you know, he had in the past talked trash against Mitt Romney, but he squelched it a little bit during the campaign. But, you know, the thing is people are going to call in and remind him, you know.
Well, they stopped Herman Cain locally here. I listen to Savage Radio on the internet because sometimes I don't pay attention to what's happening to the local stations here. So they actually cut him from the local stuff too, huh?
Well, they got him off of WDBO, and I think I know why. I could be flattering myself, but I called in. It was about 4 weeks ago. I called in, and he was doing a show, and the theme was Obama needs to rebrand his Obamacare because he's got a branding problem. He's talking along a businessman's, a brand and a product that, you know, needs to be rebranded, and I'm sitting there listening to him. So I called in, and I told the talk show host, and I always tell the screener, I always tell him this because I'm not going to ambush anybody. I called in and I said, listen, I know you won't let me on the air with what I got to say, but just pass this message on to him. And when she goes, what do you got to say? And I told her, and she says, okay, whenever you get on, don't say how you're doing, just say what you got to say. I jumped on there, and I got a friend I work with said he heard me, and it sounded like a speech, and I never breathed. You know, because I got it out. And what I did is I went through the Republican Party. I agreed with him that Obama has a problem with his brand, and he needs to rebrand it, but the Republicans need to rebrand it, that the Republican Party. And the reason is because their message is not consistent with their record. You know, and I listed the contract with America and several other things. I pointed out that in 2012, in 2004, I switched to independent, and I've never voted for a Republican since then. I've only voted for citizen candidates that are close to my conscience and the Constitution. They're not perfect, but the ones that are closest, I pick from that. And I told him I would never endorse or I would never vote for any of these Republicans or vote for anybody they would endorse. I'm done with it. And then I reminded him that in America right now the registered voters are at 40%, and it's 49% in Florida, so the Republican Party is over. The next day I heard all of Republican radio that I listened to several of them, and they all were saying, we need a new Republican Party. We need to get these people out. We got to clean it up. That was the message ever since then. And then about 3 weeks later, two or three weeks later, they got a younger guy in his place. I can't remember his name, but he's, you know, and then he's got some of his enemies. Cain's got some of his enemies are coming out with this scandal, bringing up this scandal again on the women thing. And I don't know, I wasn't there, and as he said, she said type of deal, but I think there's a possibility whenever he made legal agreements to settle issues when these things happen, I think there's a chance possibly that there might be something to it. And I sent a talk show host I know something that I interview with a woman that is a talk show host in Chicago. Glenn Beck interviewed her. I can't remember her name, but she gave some credibility to seeing her and Kane talking. This one lady that, you know, went public at a tea party, and she goes, there was some struggles there, you know, and so there might be something to this stuff. I don't know, but I know that those on the left that don't like Kane is bringing this stuff against him, and they're backing him off, I believe.
Interesting. Well, I'll tell you, one that gets me all the time, and I mean, this was way back in the days when he first started on Fox News. That was Sean Hannity. And I mean, I don't know whether he's truly changed his position. He seems to be kind of coming down on the Republicans a little bit more than he used to. But in the past, he was just such a Republican puppet. And it's like, I don't know what to make of what he's doing now. What's your take on Sean Hannity?
I haven't been following him. My schedule don't allow me to listen to him too much. I get some reruns on the weekend. I've always called him drumbeat. You know, he's got a message, and you can call in there, and he's just the same drumbeat. I remember one time a guy called in there and said, because Hannity was trashing some politician on the left, and a guy called in and said, why? He goes, I agree with you, but why don't you ever ask Sarah Palin real hard questions? And he mentioned the interview, and he cut the guy off and started talking about I do ask Palin hard questions, and he gave a couple examples. Well, I went and got a link of the interview that she was talking to, and I sent it to all of the talk show hosts, and I had linked, the first link was this guy asking the question, and I titled the subject, Hannity Dodges the Question, right? And I gave the link of the question he answered and asked and the answer he gave, and then right under that was the interview that he was talking about. And you know, what do you say? You can't. It's true. You know, ask her the real questions. Don't throw us off by this all propaganda. So, no, Sean Hannity is all about keeping the Republican Party. Same with Mark Levin. Right now, Mark Levin is doing his, I think he's got 11 amendments. I've read about them. I haven't read the book, but don't want to read the book, because it's all about saving the Republican Party, but saving the two parties system. He wants 11 more amendments that's supposed to hold the politicians accountable. The problem is the Constitution right now, though very consistent, is repetitive for the purpose of enforcing another amendment that did not get enforced. You know, it's like, right. It's like, you know, you got, it's the same, it's like amnesty. You know, a guy runs across the border and we say, hey, it's against the law, you can't be here. Well, but I only want a better life. Well, we need to make some new laws then. Okay, let's do red light reform. When people start running the red light and people getting crashes and they won't give tickets out and put people in jail, let's just do red light reform. You know, see, that is complete reprobation. You know, the standard, our experience is the standard, not our experience is determined or produced by the standard, the Constitution, and the law that enforces the Constitution. So it's all, that's all it is it's a state of reprobation. Hannity, getting back to Levin, all the amendments he wants to put in there is already in there. It's like Rubio, when it's popular and the subject comes up, he starts screaming, we need a balanced budget amendment. Well, what Article 1, Section 8 already gives us that responsibility. Okay, so why would we put another amendment in that says what's already there? And then guess what happens? When you don't do your job, Sally, you get in trouble. You get a counseling statement. Maybe you get sent home the second time for a couple of days. Then you lose your job. These guys make a promise to do something and never do it, and there's no accountability. They get to do whatever they want to do, and if they don't do their job and they do something completely different, they don't get nothing. There is no accountability.
Well, exactly. That's exactly it. I think one of his amendments was for the term limits, which I would definitely support. Wasn't one of his amendments term limits?
Yeah, but see, I disagree. Yeah, I disagree with the term limits, okay, because we got term limits. It's called elections. Here's the problem. It does no good to have term limits if I say, okay, I'm going to run for Congress for two terms, and then whenever I back out of Congress after my second term, I run for Senate, and I'm endorsing you for my old seat, and I'm in this one, and then whenever I get on with that, I move on to a governorship and endorse you for Senate. You know, it's just musical chairs. They still have the same people in control. It's kind of like that thing Reagan said, if I can agree with my opponent 80% of the time, then I can work with him. The problem is if you get a group of people in a room that can all agree or disagree only 20% of the time, you can manage the policies to still keep things going in a direction that they promised the people that they would do and don't do, because all I got to worry about if I'm coming up for my next election is I've got to go back to the people and say, look, I stood for this, okay, because I'm up for elections. Like Mel Martinez tried that. I'm not for amnesty, and then he goes up there, and he pushed through amnesty, tried to push it through, but he realized right after that, when the people burnt the phone lines up, he knew that right after that, the turn of the year was rolling around, and he's going to be up for election. So what did he do? He knew that the people were going to remember this. So he backs out and goes home to be with his family and puts Lemieux. They put Lemieux in his place, and it's still, in 08, it's still the people didn't forget, and they didn't give the Republicans a victory. Even Palin couldn't pull McCain out. So it was kind of like get out of sight, out of mind. But he promised when he went up there, I'm not going to be for amnesty. But as soon as he got up there, he lied. But he had this is the whole thing. Rubio. Rubio's doing the same thing. When the election, John Micah did the same thing. He didn't say one thing about Obamacare. But whenever who was this guy? McCullen. McCullen said not one thing about Obamacare, but then whenever the new year rose around in 2010 and it's time to run for governor, he's got a lawsuit against Obamacare. Well, we needed a lawsuit back whenever they were fussing about it, when they first passed it. Now it's election year. It's January, and he wants us to. John Micah sat there with, Tim Geithner sat there, sat in front of him as a part of the board that confirmed him to be appointed, and didn't say one thing about his taxes, his tax evasion, how he didn't pay any taxes. And then the next year, whenever 10th of 2010, election season rose in, he's standing there in front of him, and he's saying, you know, he brings up the tax evasion thing, and then it says, you know, you shouldn't even be sitting in that seat. Same thing. What's her name? Michelle Bachmann does the same thing. Says nothing about Barack Obama running for president and natural-born citizen issue. Nothing while he's running in 08. Sits there for 3 years, but when Jerome Corsi comes out and we're coming up on the next presidential election, she goes on Fox waving her birth certificate saying, I got my birth certificate. Well, then why haven't you been impeaching this guy? And then she didn't say anything about... was it Abadou McDean, whatever Hillary's aide was, said nothing right about when she was getting confirmed, but when election rolls around, she's got to gain up with seven other congressmen to write a letter saying she needs to be investigated with ties to, well, you know, let's just keep the person, the political mercenary stuff going, you know, when in the short memories of people. You know?
Disgusting.
We are, you know, and that's why I'm saying I don't know how to say it any nicer, but it's a lie. It's a lie at the best, okay, and at the worst, it's got to be evil, because these people really take the chance that there's enough people out there that are stupid enough, and I don't think they're stupid. American people are smart. I think They're just not educated. They don't take the time to look into these people's records. Or when they hear a speech, they applaud because they agree with it, but they don't go back to see what was the last speech look like, what was the promises from before, because people are busy and they got their own lives, you know. And
they're brainwashed. At one point, freedom of the press actually meant something. And I think that's between public education and freedom of the press, because the freedom of the press is no longer truly the watchdog.
We have no press. We got a Republican and a Democrat media. Okay, what we have for free press is when you hear something or you learn something, you link it and send it to me. Okay, and then I send it to my friends. That's the over the fence conversation with the neighbor type thing today. Whenever I tell, you know, and it's funny, you know, when you tell someone something, and you put the evidence in front of them. And say, there it is. You got to prove me wrong. You have to prove me wrong, or you got a decision to make with this stuff. Can you vote for this person if this stuff is true? And if you choose not to investigate it, then, you know, and I had people that refused to investigate stuff in the last election telling me, you know, but if you don't vote for this guy, then he's going to win again. And it's like, you're asking me to violate my conscience.
But
you haven't given me anything.
A liberal progressive by any other name is still a liberal progressive. A communist by any other name is still a communist. I don't care what party they're in. And that's the part that people don't seem to get, you know? It's like,
This is the thing, Sally, if I can convince you that we got to vote for this guy, mainly because we need more Republicans and Democrats, and you can't, in your conscience, say, well, I have to have more than that. And if I can talk you into it, you know what? I just talked you into giving up a part of your conscience. You violated your conscience. You violated your conscience. And this is what I always say when they tell me, you know, well, you got to vote for the lesser of the two evils. Now, I'm not getting on the issue of drinking, but if you do not drink, okay, if you're a person that does not drink alcohol and someone tells you, they put in front of you a bottle of beer and a bottle of whiskey, and they tell you you have to make a choice. You have to, you know? Okay, even if you choose the lesser of the two, it doesn't matter because you violated your conscience because you don't believe in drinking. Okay, because you violated your conscience, right there you've given up a part of who you are. You've given up a part of your soul. What happens is, you feel bad because you've drank this beer. You live with the guilt of it, and you either choose, okay, that's it. I'm not going to ever have nothing to do with either one of them ever again, and you live with that regret that you did do it, or you fall into drinking the lesser of the two evils to a point that one day you find that you're drinking the worse one because now you've been hooked on a lie that what makes it a lie is you violated your conscience. You can't violate your conscience. If you believe that drinking is okay and having a few drinks, that's fine. Do it. But don't tell someone they have to drink because when you violate your conscience, you literally give up a part of your soul. You give up a part of who you are, and you can't, your standard continues to drop, not just in that, but you just violate your conscience in everything. You got to make a decision to be resolved. That's what they said about the, you know, this is a system that is meant for a moral people, you know, and we got immoral people. We got immoral people forcing us, by not physically but intellectually, forcing us to make a choice because they're making us stay. I don't have to make a choice. If I don't vote for anybody, I just stay home. Guess what? When it falls apart, even if I'm the one that suffers for it, guess what? I can't say I'm responsible for this. I'm the victim. But I can't go and vote for something I know in my conscience and in knowledge ain't going to work, and then whenever it falls apart, I'm oppressed twice as hard. I just say, you know, like I told one politician, you know, I can't stop you from feeding me dirt, but I promise you I will never vote for the dirt that I have to eat. You know?
Exactly. I may get stuck with the dirt, but it wasn't because I asked for it or supported it.
It was Dan Webster I told that to.
I remember one time, there was one meeting, over at the senior citizen center here in Orlando. I'm over there, and I go up to him, and I start asking him some questions, and right away he takes off. I'm like, what a coward. I mean, I'm asking you very, very specific and legitimate questions. It was about the toll road stuff, transportation. And he just walked off. He wouldn't answer. I mean, this is a coward of these people. Well, we're getting down to the last few minutes here. What's that?
Oh, boy, did I talk your whole show away?
This has been great. You haven't been on in so long, so this was good. The one quick thing I want to say, and then I get one last question for you. Next week, first off, I really want to talk about the NFL and the Super Bowl. What is more important to the American people, a Super Bowl or their freedom and their liberty? And then why is the NFL considered a nonprofit organization? We give them stadiums to play in, and then they go and don't have to pay any taxes. So we're going to talk a little bit about that next Monday, because that'll be the bye week or whatever before the game comes up. So that's one thing. And then the other is right now, if you had your choice, or I know who I would like to see run for president that I could truly vote for and totally be comfortable with voting for that person, regardless of whatever party they would run under. But I know who I would like. Is there anybody out there right now that you really see that you would like to see run for president?
On the sports, I don't follow sports. I got a lot of things going on, and I haven't followed sports in a long, long time, so I can't give anything on that. But on the president, there's no politician out there that I know of that I would vote for. There's this guy, I'm trying to remember his name, the neurosurgeon.
Oh, Ben Carson, that's my guy.
Now I have heard him speak a couple times, and this is I have reservations. When I hear him, you know, it's like if this guy stepped up and said, I think I'm going to run for president, I could get behind him, okay? But here's my problem. He didn't step up and say, I'm considerate. Everybody started throwing, on the Republican side, started throwing out basically the drafting thing. You know, we need him to run. Why don't you? And they start asking him, are you going to run? Right there tells me they're gonna get somebody in there that we can buy, that we would all be for somebody like that. But when he gets in there, he's owned by the Republican Party. He's there because he's a part of their team, okay? And it's hard for this is the thing. I know this about the 2010 election. There was, and just running for Senate, there was a doctor running. He was a Republican. There was a colonel that, because he knew what to do to win the war, he wanted to run as for Senate too. They were both citizen Republicans. And when you walked into the poll, you saw Marco Rubio and these two names, and you'd never heard these two names. And that's why Marco Rubio won with 84% and these two other ones, because they had a congressional primary debate for the Congress, but they didn't have... Here in Florida, they didn't have a Senate primary debate, so nobody heard of these names. So, you know, I think that when he, if he gets up there, if Carson gets up there, he has to understand if they're recruiting him, he's just a tool for the party.
Well, and see, that's the thing about Carson. He is a no-party affiliate at this point in time. He is a no-party affiliate. And obviously, you're right, it's definitely the GOP side trying to pull him in. But right now, he I think he's one who could truly run as a no-party affiliate and make a major dent in the game. I've been saying, I mean, the way I've kind of said it, as I feel right now, and who knows, maybe I'll learn things that change my opinion. But right now, I think he's the closest thing to a George Washington we've got out there. He doesn't want to run. He's openly said, I don't want to run. I'll do it if I feel like I have to, and the need is there. But he's also a no-party affiliate. So those are kind of – he's very intelligent.
I think
out of
the famous people that stands in front of us politically, he's the only one I've seen. But this is the other thing, too. There's a lot of people out there in this country that has succeeded at real leadership. They know what it takes, but they're not attracted to politics because they They're not the Jerry Springer type, okay? I think America has a lot of talent up there, and these politicians need to step out of the way and go away and let real leadership come up and not hire him because he's a businessman, okay? Because the president's not running a business. He's running a country, and he's running it according to the Constitution. They tried that crap with Rick Scott because he was a he's a businessman. We need a business. No, we need a statesman that can look at the Constitution. God bless America. God bless you, Sally.
Thank you so much for joining, Nathan. This has been excellent, and don't take so much time to get back on next time.
I won't. I'm still listening.
Okay, that's good. Thank you so much. It's been an excellent discussion. And on that note, yes, thank you, Nathan. And please, what Nathan said is so true. I agree with so much of what he has said there. And it's the truth. You vote your conscience. Vote for America. Stop all the other nonsense. Be Americans. Seek the truth. Face the truth. And then we can save America. On that note, thank you, everyone. Please tune in tomorrow night. And may God bless and save the USA. Good night.